Okay, so good morning, Erev Shabbat Shalom. Today's daf is daf 15. Daf Tedvav, we left off on the bottom of the page on Yudalet Amud Bet 14b, towards the bottom of the page, about 8-9 lines from the bottom of the page. First word on the line is Nami, middle of the line, Bifnei Beitin. We're going to jump right in. The Gemara says, we said in the Mishnah, Bifnei Beitin. What is this referring to? In front of the Beitin. So the Gemara explains what this means. Prat lemocher nechasav v'achar kach olach lebeitin. It's excluding a person who sold his property and only then afterwards he went to the Beit Din. That's what we're talking about. So Rashi says, "Bifnei Beit Din, Prada Moshe says the kila ma'ot. He finished the money. Ubala Beit Din, she'ain Beit Din for emin alakochot. The Beit Din cannot come and take the money from the buyers. So the Gemara says, Shma mina, lava umachar nechasav ve'achar kach bala Beit Din, ain Beit Din govin lo mehen." Are we coming and learning from here that if somebody borrowed money and he sold or borrowed property and he sold it, he borrowed and he sold the property and then he came to the Beit Din, that we can't, the Beit Din does not collect for him from them, we wouldn't be able to collect from the buyers? So the Gemara says, Ela, it must be, that cannot be, right? Because Rashi says, V'hakaymalan, da'ati malveh v'tarif, we said the lender can come and take it away from him. So how can you say that no, that you can't collect? So the Gemara says, Ela prad la Beit Din hedyotot. No, it's coming to exclude simpletons of a Beit Din, meaning there's different types of batei din. There's a Beit Din smuchin, or mumchin rather. They are more mumchin, they're professionals in a sense, for lack of a better term, and therefore they're held in a higher standard. And then there's a Beit Din of hedyotot, which there are just simpletons who are on a Beit Din. And the difference is that a Beit Din of mumchin are able to dan dinei knasot, they're able to do penalties and stuff like that, whereas the Beit Din of hedyotot is not allowed to do penalties. The Gemara then says, al pi edim, we said based on witnesses. So the Gemara says, prad le modeh biknas, v'achar kach ba edim shu patur. It's coming to exclude somebody who admits when fined by a penalty, and only then did the witnesses come, that person is exempt. So the Gemara says, Hanicha leman da'amar modeh biknas v'achar kach ba edim patur. That makes sense according to the opinion that says that if somebody admits his wronging, and then the edim come, he's exempt. That's that opinion. But ela leman da'amar modeh biknas v'achar kach ba edim chayav ma'ikal ha'mimar. But according to the opinion that says that we're going to see, we have a machloket later on, in Perikah Merubah and Tafayin Hey, over there we have this machloket. There's another opinion that says if somebody admits by a case of knas, by a penalty, and only then the witnesses come that he's actually liable, what are you going to say then? So the Gemara says, Seif Ayit Tzarich Alei. We need the latter part of the Mishnah. Flipping the Amur on Tedvav Amur Aleph. B'nei Chorin or B'nei Berit. It needs to be that the witnesses are free men and B'nei Berit. B'nei Chorin Lema'ute Avadim. The free men is coming to exclude slaves, Eved Knani. And B'nai B'rit is going to exclude Goyim. So the Gemara says, Utsricha, and we need both of them. De'i Ashmin and Eved, if I only would have only said in Eved, that only he's excluded from this pasuk, that he's not considered an Ed, Mishum de'en lo chayis, it should say, that he doesn't have any lineage connection, doesn't have any genealogical connection. Yichus, right? Aval, Nochri, de'yesh lo yachas, but by a Nochri who has Yichus, he has that lineage connection, that genealogical connection, I would have thought that we would not exclude him from the word Edin. V'yashmina Nochrin, if I would have only said the Goy, Mishum de lo shayach b'mitzvot, because he has no connection to mitzvot. Aval, Eved, but Eved Knani, that we know the shayach b'mitzvot, he does have a connection to mitzvot. What mitzvot is an Eved Knani required to keep? Mitzvot of like a woman.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Eved Kanani has to keep mitzvot just like the same mitzvot that a woman has to keep. So, Emalo, I would have thought that we would not exclude Eved Kanani. Tzricha, that's why we needed both cases to teach you. And no, we're excluding from the word Edim both people who are slaves, Eved Kanani and a goy. The Gemara then says, we're on top of Tedvav Amul Aleph. V'han Nashim Bichlal HaNezek. We said the women are included in the damage. So, Menan Amide, how do we know that? Amar Yudah, Amar Rav, Echen Tanit V'Rav Yishmael, was taught in the Academy of Rav Yishmael. Amar Krav, we're going to bring three psukim, three sources, until we get to the next sugya. So the pasuk says, first pasuk, Amar Kra, Ish o Yisha ki yasu mikol chatot ha'adam. So if a man and woman does any of the sins of man, right, this pasuk is talking about, you know, if they swore, they did a false oath, and they lied about it, they said, no, it wasn't false, they testified it wasn't false, they lied. So this is a pun, they get punished for that. So the Gemara says, Hishva katuv isha la'ish l'chol anashin shabat Torah. This pasuk is saying that women and men are equal to all punishments in the Torah. That's source number one. The very Rabbi Elazar Tana, he says, no, I have a different source. These are the mishpatim that you should place in front of them. So the Torah is saying, lifnehem, in front of them, equal, making men and women equal by the dinim. So the Gemara brings a third source. No. They taught, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Ve'mit ish o isha, says Hishva Kadur Isha Le Ish L'Chol Mitot Shabbat Torah, that you put the woman to the man to death, or the woman to death, meaning that the man and woman are both equal when it comes to death, things that have to do with being put to death. Right, that pasuk is referring to if a person's ox went and gored someone. Right, Rashi says the pasuk says V'im Shor Nagach. And kill the person. We kill the ox, and that owner is liable for death as well. So the Gemara says, why do we need all three of these? We need all three sources. Why? I would have only said the first one. That's where the Torah has mercy on her, maybe. So that she gets an atonement. But by the second case of dinin, Ish devar masa umatan in ishalo. Man is usually the one who does business, who works. So maybe I would have thought that we'd include him in dinim, the laws of dinim, but not a woman, because she's not usually the one that works. A woman is usually the one that stays home. So, oh, this is against the, although the guys are sitting kolel. Oh. The guys are sitting kolel all day long. Their wives work over here, saying that usually the men work. I guess the minority, that's what it's referring to. The ishalo is referring to the minority. Most men work, but the minority, I guess, though. Right, the iash men and dinin. If it would have only said, right, nachon, that's where. Okay, the iash men and dinin. If it would have only said the second case, dinin, that's for a woman to have a life. Right, let's say a woman, if she wasn't included in dinim, nobody would do business with her. Ah, she doesn't have any laws. Ah, she can do whatever she wants. Then she's not going to repay us this that. So we're not going to do it with her. About kapara, by atonement. Ish devar mitzvah in ishalav delav bat mitzvah lo. I would have thought that a man who has all the mitzvot. Man has a lot, not all, but has a lot more mitzvot, excuse me, he would be included in the category of atonement. A woman doesn't have all the mitzvot, so maybe I wouldn't include her in the category of atonement. That's what I would have thought. If I would have only said the first two, hacha mishum kapara, v'hacha mishum chayuta. Ah, so the first one is because of atonement. The second one is because of the woman's life. But the third pasuk, that's talking about death, ish devar mitzvah l'shalem kofer ishalo. The man that was killed now, so now he lost out on any opportunity to do mitzvot, so the man, you should pay kofar, because he's a man that was killed that lost out on opportunity to do mitzvot. So you should pay the payment for that penalty, for that killing. Whereas isha, no, but maybe I would have thought a woman would not. But that's why we needed to say no, even the third case. Ve'iyah shmin and kofar, if I would have only said the payment, the third pasuk, mishum de'ika ibun neshama, that's talking about loss of life. But first two cases, not talking about loss of life, I would have thought those are not. You would not need to include the woman. That's why we're including the woman in all of these, that a man and woman are equal in all three of these cases. Then we said in the Mishnah, Nizak ba mazik tashumin, the damaged and the damager are in payment. So the Gemara says, Itmar, we learn the following. Palgan nizgan, the half payment that we talk about, the chatzin nezek, by Karen, by the horns, that's Rav Papa Amar Mamona. Rav Papa says that's compensation. That's not a fine, a penalty, it's payment. Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Amar Knaza, he says no, it's a penalty, it's a fine. So now we have this big machloket. Do we say chatzi nezek? We're going to explain. Do we say chatzi nezek? Is that considered only a payment? Or do we say no, it's really considered a fine? Right? Rashi says, Mamona, din hu sheshalmenu. It's the din that you have to pay the person. Ve'ino knas, it's not a fine that they're fining you, but really according to the letter of the law, you don't owe him. There's a difference between owing someone, you owe him money because you caused him damage, versus no, you don't owe him money, but the chachamim fined you for doing something like that. So this is machloket, what do we view as the chatzin nezek? So the Gemara says, Rav Papa Amar Mamona, he says it's money, it's monetary, it's compensation. Kasavar, he holds stam shvarim la v'cheskat shimur kamei. Says that general oxes are not considered guarded. And you would think that you should pay the full amount of damage. But the Torah had mercy on them. Because his ox is not yet mu'ad, it's not dangerous yet. So therefore, he says you only have to pay half. That's why he says it's compensation. Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Amar, he says, no, it's knasa, it's a penalty. He says general oxes are considered to be guarded. Uvedinhu delo meshalem klav. And he doesn't, generally, he wouldn't have to pay at all. Ah, v'rachmanahu dekan say, the Torah says, we're going to fine you here. Why? Giyechi delinterei letorei, so that you guard your ox better next time and don't let it damage. So that's the machloket. So the Gemara says, tznan, we have a Mishnah. Hanizak v'amazik v'dashumin. We said, the damaged and the damager are in payment. So the Gemara says, bishlam aleman de'amar. It makes sense according to the opinion that says, palgad nizka mamuna. The first opinion who said that it's talking about compensation, the half damage. That's to say that the damaged one is included even in the category of the payment. He collects his half damage. But according to the one who says that the half a damage is really only a penalty, and therefore it's not really his money. He's not really taking what's owed to him. He's taking a penalty, a fine. Do we include him in payment? Do we say he's included in the payment? How can you, according to that opinion, how would that make sense? So the Gemara says, "Lo nitzcha ela dipchad nevela." No, we're talking about the damaged one with regards to the depreciation of the dead carcass after the body dies. If, let's say, the carcass, the animal's carcass after the body dies, until it was, the case was brought to the Beit Din, the animal depreciated, the damaged one loses out on that depreciation. That depreciation is no value. Pchat nevela. The Gemara says depreciation of the nevela. We already learned this in the Reisha. Tashlumei nezek, the payment of the damage. We said the owners are metapel with the carcass. They deal with the carcass. So the Gemara says, why do you mention it again? Chada betam, chada muad. Two different cases. One is talking about a calm animal, and one is talking about a dangerous animal. Utsrichan, we need both of them. De'i ashmain and tam, if I would have only said the calm animal, mishum da'akati lu'ayed, because he still hasn't yet become dangerous. Aval muad emalo, but I would have thought, dangerous animal. No, we wouldn't include him over here. The Gemara says, de'i ashmain and muad, if I would have only said the dangerous animal, mishum da'akati mishalem kule, because over there he's paying the full payment. Aval tam emalo, I would have thought by a calm animal, since he's not paying the full payment, he's only paying chatzin nezek, therefore I would have thought we wouldn't include him here. Tzricha, that's why we needed to mention both cases. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's come and listen. Ma bein tam lemuad. What's the difference between a calm animal and a muad animal? So the Gemara says, Shatam mishalem chatzin nezek migufo, muad mishalem nezek shalem min aliyah. A calm animal, if he causes damage, you pay half of the damage from its guf, from its worth. So let's say he causes a damage to an animal that's worth 300, he's only worth 200. He killed the animal, let's say, you pay chatzin nezek. If he's a calm animal, you pay half of his what his worth is. So it's half of 200, which is 100. Whereas umuad, mishalem nezek shalem min aliyah, whereas a dangerous animal, you'd pay the full damage from the aliyah, from what's worth more. So if he's worth 300 and that's worth 200, and he caused that big damage, so therefore you would pay the full damage from the higher's worth, from the one that's worth 300. Right? Vim itan, if you say, and if you want to say that this is a penalty, litnei namiha, why don't we teach the following? Tam eno mishalem al piatzmo, muad mishalem al piatzmo, that a calm animal cannot pay based on the owner's own testimony, and a dangerous animal can pay based on the owner's own testimony. Right? Why? Rashi says, shechatzin nizko shel tam knas. The half a damage of the calm animal is a penalty. Whereas veino mishalem al piatzmo, he cannot pay on his own testimony. Muad have mamon, and a dangerous animal, that's actual payment, that's compensation, that's not a penalty. Mishalem al piatzmo, you would have to pay based on, you would be able to pay even on your own testimony. Why didn't we mention this? If you say it's a penalty, does that mean it's not a penalty? So the Gemara says no. Tana b'shir, we left this one out. It should have mentioned it. We left it out. So the Gemara says, Ma'ishir dehashir. We know that anytime we say we left something out, there needs to be something else that you left out with it. Can't be that you only left the one thing out. So famously, we say you always need to have something else. What else do we leave? So shir chatzi kofer. We left out a case of the half a payment. Right? Rashi says muad shehemit da adam. If you have a dangerous animal that killed a person, mishalem kofer liyorashim. He pays the kofer payment to the inheritors. V'tam afilu chatzi kofer l'mishalem. In a calm animal, even half of the payment he doesn't pay. So that's what we left out. So the Gemara says, im mishum chatzi kofer lav shiurahu. That's not leaving something out. Hamani, who is the author here? Rabbi Yossi Galilihi. It's Rabbi Yossi, the Amar, tam mishalem chatzi kofer. He says that a calm animal pays the half payment. Oh, so now we go back to what we already said. We said that the owner pays half payment, the dangerous animal pays the full payment. We didn't leave anything out. We mentioned this case already according to Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, Tashema. So come and listen to the following. Hemit shori et ploni. If I say my ox killed this person, or shorosh el ploni, or the ox of this person, harizem mishalem al piatzmo. He can pay on his own testimony. My love betam, is it not talking about a calm animal? And he's talking about paying the half a payment on his own testimony. And therefore you can tell that it's really mamuna, it's really compensation, it's not a fine. The Gemara says, lo, bimu'ad. No, it's talking about a dangerous animal. Aval tammai, what about a calm animal? So the Gemara says, hachinami de'ein mashanah al-piyasmo. Would we also say that he can't pay on his own testimony? The Gemara says, yachi, if that's the case, adetani seifa, instead of saying in the seifa, hemit shoriyat avdo shel tloni, in the latter part of this baraita, later on, on Daf Mem Gimel, we say this, that instead of saying, my ox killed this slave of this person, ein mashanah al-piyasmo, he cannot pay on his own testimony. Why don't we just argue on the topic itself? What's the topic that we're talking about? It's a dangerous animal. But if it was a calm animal, you can never pay based on his own testimony by a calm animal. Why don't we say that? So the Gemara says, Kula bimu'ad kamayri. All of this was really talking about a dangerous animal. We were only talking about a dangerous animal over here. And over here, Rashi says, V'chilukim demu'ad b'ayashmina. We're just talking about the different chilukim, the differentiations by a dangerous animal. That's what we were referring to over here. Not a calm animal. So the Gemara says again, Tashima, come and listen again. Ze'aklal, this is the general rule. Kula meshalem yoter al mashi izik, eno meshalem piyatzmo. Anyone who's paying more than what he damaged, let's say for a fine, a penalty, he would not pay based on his own testimony. So the Gemara says, my love, can we infer from that? That if he's paying less than what he damaged, you would be able to pay based on your own testimony. So the Gemara says, can we infer such a thing? So the Gemara says, no, you cannot. You can infer that if he pays what he damaged, then he can pay based on his own testimony, but not less than. Hold on. If he pays based on his what he damaged exactly, then he can pay based on his own testimony. More or less than that, then he cannot pay based on his own testimony. So why don't we just say, instead of saying, the Gemara says now, aval pachod mai, but if it's less than, you're paying less than what you damaged, then what? Hachanami delo mishalem, would we say the same thing, that you cannot pay based on your own testimony? So the Gemara says, yachi, if that's the case, adetani ze aklal. Instead of saying this is the general rule, kola mishalem yoter al mashi yizik, eno mishalem al piyasmo. Instead of saying, and who is paying more than what he damaged does not pay on his own testimony, it's a penalty, right? Lidne, it should have said, ze aklal, this is a general rule, kol she eno mishalem ke mashi yizik, de mashma pachot de mashma yoter. It could have just said, anyone who pays what he damaged, anyone who's not paying what he damaged exactly, he cannot pay based on his own testimony. Meaning, anything more or anything less. Meaning, if he's paying more than what he damaged, or less than what he damaged, he cannot pay based on his own testimony. Why didn't it say, anyone who doesn't pay what he damaged, cannot pay based on his own testimony? It didn't say that. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta, you're right, that's a contradiction. But even though that's a contradiction, V'ilcheta palgan nizkak knasa, we're still going to say, even though it's a contradiction, that the half a damage is still considered a penalty. So the Gemara says, hold on. Tiyufta v'ilcheta? It's a contradiction. And you're saying the halakha follows that? How does that make any sense? So it is. Ta'ama mai havei tiyufta. Why is it a contradiction? Mishum de lo ketani kemo shehizik. Because it didn't say, in the case that we just mentioned, the general rule is if he doesn't pay what he damaged, then he doesn't pay on his own testimony. He doesn't say that. So the Gemara says, he didn't say that because lo psikale, he couldn't say that. Kivan de'ika, chatzi nezek terod. We have a case that we mentioned, the chatzi nezek, where you have a stone on the road, he steps on the stone, and then it pops out and it causes damage, and he has to pay the chatzi nezek. That's halachah l'moshem Sinai. That we say that's halachah l'moshem Sinai, that is considered compensation. That's mamona. So therefore, Mishumachi Loketani, so therefore he wasn't able to mention this type of case. So Rashi says, Kevan de'ika chatzi nezek, de'eino mishalem kemashe izik. He's not paying what he damaged, he's paying half. Still, what do we say? V'afilu achim mishalem al piyatzmo. He can pay based on his own testimony. So there's an exclusion to the rule. Since there was an exclusion to the rule, it couldn't state that as the general rule, and that's why I didn't mention it. But still, we can say that the halakha is that the half of knas, the half of the damage that's caused, we say, is considered a penalty. V'hashta de'amar, now that you're saying, palgan niska knasa, that this half a damage is considered a penalty. Hay kalbad achal emre. If you have a dog that eats a sheep, kills a sheep and eats it. V'shunerad achalat ha'negola. Or a cat. They said, you know where this comes from? This sounds like from Chad Gadya. Right? Chad Gadya, this is the same lyrics. V'shunerad achalat ha'negola. Or a cat that eats a chicken. Mishunahu. It's considered unusual. Velo magbinim in Babel. You cannot collect on this in Babylonia. Why not in Babylonia? Because to be able to collect for this, you needed to be Rabbanan Simiche. They needed to be have given a special smicha that was a tradition down from rabbi to student, all the way down, that they'd be able to judge such cases that in Babel they didn't have. That only in Eretz Yisrael they had such a thing. So the Gemara says, "V'hani mila v'rav reve." That's talking about big dogs. Aval bezutrei or chehu. But if it was small dogs and cats, that's the general way. That's not unusual. That is usual, and you'd be able to collect. So the Gemara says, "Sorry, mechila. Not big dogs and small dogs. B'rav reve is tarnegolim ukvasim. That's talking about big chickens and sheep. Whereas small ones, zutrei, if they are small." Sheep and chickens. Therefore, that's considered orchehu. That's considered its usual way, and you'd be able to collect for it. So Gemara says, "V'itafas." And if he went in and grabbed what he's owed, what's the din? Lo mafkin and meina. We don't take it away from him. V'amar. And if he says, "Kivuli zimna de azlina la'arad Yisrael," set for me a time in the Beit Din. I want to come to Eretz Yisrael. Kavina le. We set him a time over there. V'lo azil. And if the guy who owes it doesn't come. Mishamtinale, we put him in excommunication. Ubenkach, mishamtinale, adam isadek hezekah. No matter what, we put him in excommunication until he gets rid of the damage. Meaning, you have a dangerous dog. That dog just caused major damage. You went and killed somebody, the dog came and killed someone's animal. You gotta get rid of that dog. Right? So we put him in excommunication until he gets rid of the dog. How do we know this? Midir Rabbi Natan. This is a famous Gemara. The Tanya is a parayit that says, Rabbi Natan Omer, minayin shelo yigadel adam kelev ra betoch beito. How do we know a person should not build up or grow a wicked dog, a bad dog in his home? How do we know that? Ve'al yamid sulam ra'uah betoch beito, or not put a sort of broken ladder in his house, a ladder that's not working properly? Tamul Omer, lo tasim damim beveitecha. You should not place blood in your home. Meaning you can't place something that can cause someone to get hurt. Therefore, from here we learn that a person cannot place something in his house that would cause damage. Now, I'm just going to spend 1 minute on this because it's very important halakha. Is a person allowed to own a dog? It's a very practical halakha. Can you own a dog in your house? We see many people own dogs. Many rabbanim own dogs. So over here, so I'm going to dangerous dog. So actually, there's an opinion. So over here, there's an opinion of the Shulchan Aruch Harav, and we asked Rabbi Ben Chaim also when we learned the sugya with him. So the Shulchan Aruch Harav says over here, it's talking about big dogs. There's big dangerous dogs, kelev ra. Sometimes you have big dangerous dogs, and those are not allowed to be brought in one's home. But sometimes you have a little puppy, or even a big dog, and sometimes they're very gentle. They're not scary. They don't bark and scare people. Therefore, that would be permitted. But if you have a dog that barks and scares people, that's asur. That's a problem. Because God forbid, it can cause somebody major damage. Okay? Amen. We're going to stop and do 1 minute recap.